Good afternoon, and welcome to Nothing But Good News Radio. I am so happy to have you here. I have so much amazing stuff going on. So what we'll do first is I want to tell you a little bit about me. If you haven't heard who I am before, I am an internationally recognized leader in corporate and personal development. I am also a speaker, a talk show host, a television personality, coach, author, magazine publisher, and the founder of Nothing But Good News Media. I am the originator of the Vision Program, which specializes in developing sustainable long-term visions to transform companies and individuals from the inside out, yielding extraordinary results. Now, in this age of sound bites, providing good news in the media is the primary intention and the purpose for Nothing But Good News New World Media. The principles that you will hear are based on you living your remarkable life, which is the basis for our magazine, radio, webinars, blogs, online presence, and in all of the work that gets delivered. I am personally dedicated to bringing you, the listening audience, high-quality information through all of the programming to satisfy the increasing demand for integrity, honesty, and impassioned living. Now, I'm very excited about today's guests, and I will also tell you, I have a special co-host with me today, Orlando Espinosa. Hey, Orlando.
Hey, Candy. How are you doing?
Is that not a radio voice or what? But, Orlando, you know, the next thing we always do is we always give the G-note for the day. And the G-note, well, it's a daily gift to guide you to greatness that I drop in your email box every single day. Hey, Orlando, would you take that radio voice of yours and share the G-note with the listening audience?
More than happy to. Dear friends, you can't live powerfully in the present if your thoughts are always in the past. And that's Dr. Joe Rubino, cast member of The Journey, which premieres December 9th.
What is this movie, The Journey, premiering December 9th? Should we talk about this a little bit, or how excited are we? Actually, the reason that Orlando is here with me today is because, okay, I'm in the movie. Yes, the premiere is December 9th. Yes, there'll be a red carpet event. Yes, I have my dress ready. But I tell you, I am so excited about this. Orlando came to back me up a little bit to make sure I didn't get too far off track today.
I think that the key thing here is making sure that we actually continue to motivate and encourage everyone to actually even go to the website, which is www.thejourneymovie.net, to find out more information about that amazing cast that you have. Brian Tracy, Bob Proctor, Ridgely Goldsboro, Nick Halleck, Dr. Joe Rubino, Donna Melinda Boyer, and there's a lot of other people that are part of the cast of the movie The Journey. So we look forward to you going out and visiting the website.
Now, before we get to today's guest, how about helping folks find out where they can get G-notes?
The main thing that you need to do is go to candyg.com, and that's www.kandeeg.com, and sign up for all of these daily G-notes that you're going to be receiving in your email box, which they're going to encourage and motivate you to live that remarkable life that each and every one of you is looking to live.
There you go. Awesome. Isn't he great? I know. What a great voice, Orlando. I want you around all the time. All right. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk about today's guests. And what we're going to do today is we're going to learn about the transformative powers of personal truth and how that helped both Blake and Rick. We're going to talk about Blake Liebeskind and Rick Finkelstein, and they're joining me today, and how it helped them stop destructive behavior and redirect negative energies into positive life-affirming actions. Yeah, way to go, guys. Now, you all remember James Frye, and he authored A Million Little Pieces, a book that Oprah had highly endorsed, and it was discovered by Smoking Gun that this was not James Frye's life story as he claimed. So what you're going to do is you're going to have an opportunity today to listen to one of the real characters that Frye used, his arrest report that's on Smoking Gun that proved Frye's novel as a lie, but someone who is indeed a classmate of James Frye. Blake Liebeskind shares the real story about how criminal charges and witnessing his mother's death at the hands of an unethical physician helped him turn his life around and dedicate his energies to helping others receive ethical medical treatment. And then, and in addition, we're going to reflect on the power of community when Rick Finkelstein reveals his journey through addiction and recovery and what compelled him to write his collection of poetry that takes the reader through an interactive journaling process. It's compelling, provocative, educational, and this book is for anyone whose life has been touched by addiction. So what I'd like to do right now is I'd like to welcome Rick and Blake to the radio show. Hi there, Rick.
Hi, how you doing?
Pretty good. Blake, are you with me?
Yeah, how you doing?
I am so happy to have you guys here today. It's just very exciting. And like I said, Orlando's here to keep me on track because my adrenaline has been just like cranking this week, as you might well imagine. So, you know, Blake, I think I want to start with you and tell us a little bit about your story and those times that whole time that brought you to be part of this arrest report and who you were back then. Give us a little bit of background on who Blake used to be.
Well, growing up in South Florida, you know, I'm always surrounded by party life and drugs and all the stuff that South Florida has to offer. And, you know, when I was an adolescent growing up, I took part of it and abused the system and just had a good time. And when I went up to school in Ohio, I ended up becoming one of the main suppliers there. And I got in trouble when I was 20 years old through all of that. And that's what that arrest report was there. That Mr. Fry used during his report, during his book, to, you know, just to add some spice to it, I guess, or, you know, try to prove that it was his story. But, you know, going through that, it's been quite a long time since all that happened. And from there, I really got my life on track after getting in trouble through fate or coincidence. At the same time, my mother was on a clinical trial at a big hospital with a doctor, and it didn't go well. And ultimately, it killed her. And during that time, I just really cleaned up and dedicated my life to getting into that business and making sure that you know, doctors don't do things that are unnecessary like that just for profit. And,
well, you know, there's so many questions in what you just said. I mean, like, there's a whole host of things going on. But what I'd like to do is, because I'm going to kind of intertwine your story and Rick's at the same time. And of course, like I said, Orlando's here to keep me on track, so he's going to grab the microphone from time to time. And so, and we'll talk about. And question for you: Was it an addiction for you, or was it more about easy money?
For me, it was more about easy money. Really was an addiction purpose, just to have a good time. And even the money part wasn't even that important of it. It was really more just about going out and having a good time and making sure the people around me were having a good time, too.
Right, and that, yeah, I hear you. You know, Rick, I hear a snicker out of you while you're hearing that piece. What's the snicker about?
Well, you know, I believe that most people don't even realize what's going to happen to them. You know, if people saw the line in the sand and knew that once they crossed it, there was no turning back, nobody would ever cross it. The problem is you don't see the line until you're on the wrong side of it.
And, you know, we're going to stop right there real quick. I know we had a long introduction. That music right there in the background, that means we're going to commercial break. But we're going to talk about that line in the sand and what that means when we come back from this commercial break. So you're listening to Nothing But Good News Radio. This is Candy G with my special co-host, Orlando Espinoza, and my very special guests, Rick Finkelstein and Blake Libeskin. Don't go anywhere. This is going to be a great show. We'll be right back.
Are you looking for reliable shipping? Would you like to truck your shipment to the Caribbean, Latin America, and Mexico? Do you want shipping options? Then call Amerijet today at 1-800-927-6059 or visit our website at www.amerijet.com. Amerijet has daily all-cargo flights and provides service to all Caribbean island and major airports in Mexico and Latin America. For all commercial and personal shipments, visit our website at amerijet.com or call us today at 1-800-927-6059.
This is Chris Gloss from Atlanta, Georgia. Candy G's book, Now Boarding and Next Stop, Your Remarkable Life, has changed my entire life. From her book, I have begun the process of re-scripting my life for a better future. Her book has actually helped me put my life on a path towards everything that I have ever dreamed and hoped and prayed for. I say to you, Candy G books should be required reading for you. I have made a decision not just to read her book, but to study her book. I refuse to miss any of the treasures in her book. That's why I will study it and use every strategy and technique that she talks about, because to this point, it has made a tremendous difference. If you're ready to make a difference in your life, get the book now.
Hey, welcome back. This is Candy G, and this is Nothing But Good News Radio. Before we went to commercial break, Rick, you were talking about that line in the sand. Tell me exactly what you're referring to.
Well, when it comes to addiction, and when I use the term addiction, it could be alcohol, drugs, sex, work. It doesn't matter what it is, because when it comes to, it's not really about the substance. It's really a, more of a thinking disorder than a drug or a drinking disorder. And what happens is you have it within you. And people, if people take the time to look back, they can remember when they were kids and certain behaviors because they have the characteristic behaviors. So two people can sit there, like take Blake and myself, and we could go to the same parties and do the same drugs or do the same alcohol or whatever. And at the end of the night, Blake goes home and goes to sleep. And someone like myself stays there and continues. They're usually the first person there and the last person to leave. And you don't know until it's too late. You know, if we all had warning signs, probably wouldn't matter anyways because we wouldn't listen to them because we were bound for this journey. And that's what happens. And that was the purpose of my poetry, was really a way for me to have a source to let go. And it actually started, I woke up one night and wrote something down, and I was in tears, and it was the middle of the night, and I wrote it down. And when I woke up in the morning, I looked at it, and it rhymed. And I showed it to a couple people, and they were like, wow, that's exactly how I feel. And that was really how the whole book started.
Yeah, and we're going to talk some more about the book, and really looking forward to hearing some poetry. I just want you to know I'm counting on that piece. And the thing is that I hear you say is that when you're talking about addiction, you're not talking about the physical sensation as much as what the mind does in relationship to, I need to keep partying, I need to keep playing, I need to keep doing. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Yeah, you know, it's whether, you know, the obsession to use, you know, the difference is when an addict, and I'm going to use the term addict, but it, no matter what your demon is, for lack of a better word, you can substitute it in, gets a thought to use, that thought isn't like, oh, geez, I'd like to get high or I'd like to have a couple drinks, and then it goes away. It takes over every part of your persona until you do it, and then you get into some, hopefully, some sort of recovery. But, you know, all the books that regarding recovery and all the programs tell you, you know, there's jails, institutions, and death. Those are the three. And then there's really the one that's not talked about, which is living the life while using and living in a state where everything goes wrong, every bit of a turmoil, and you're, you know, you're an active addict or an active alcoholic, and you're just trying to survive, and really survival is the way your mind works. It's almost like an animalistic level until you get into some sort of a 12-step program that helps you find your way.
You know, Blake, did you ever have to find, did you ever find yourself in a program? Hey, you know what, before we even answer that question, what happened with the arrest report? Did you go to jail?
Yeah, I did spend a little bit of time. Fortunately, you know, my father had some money, and we were able to hire real top attorneys, and, you know, did most of probation, parole type of thing for many years to come. Sort of got lucky without having to spend real hard time there, but there was a little bit spent.
You know, so even though there was not the place of being an addict for you, but what I hear, one of the things I hear in your answers, and what I hear Rick talking about, that there has to, that I would imagine that based upon getting arrested and all of those things, or like Rick was talking about living this life, trying to live a life through an addiction, that there's a whole lot of shame and guilt and other things that comes along with that.
Yeah, and I mean, no question. I mean, when I got arrested in trouble for what I did, I was embarrassed to walk out on the street. I just felt like I was branded. It really came from me to, you know, when I was 20, from then on, to just take the right path. You know, for me, one of the biggest things, you know, with this book is that I am surrounded, continued by all sorts of people with addiction. You know, it seems to be prevailing all over the country, whether it is alcohol, drugs, gambling, whatever it is. You know, I've been directly affected with my wife. I've lost best friends to overdoses, my father-in-law, just one after the other. And I've just found that Rick's message and his ability to put it down in these poems is really given me an understanding for a person who, you know, strong enough when I was younger to not be addicted and to make that choice with it. And I made the choice for myself, and I didn't understand why other people couldn't do that. And Rick's explanation, not only just in this book, but just spending time and talking with him, up and down that I have with my family and friends, just really helped me get a perspective of why this happens and how it's so unique to each person. And you know, that's one of the big reasons why I really am endorsing Rick's book, because it really helped me. It's helped a lot of people that I've given it to.
You know, and I have to tell you, I really appreciate you stepping out and sharing your story. I mean, this is something you could keep tucked in the past and you don't have to talk about it. But by being here today on the show, it really makes a difference for a lot of folks out there. Now, and so I appreciate that in a big way. I will tell you, there's an interesting thing for me as we're doing the show today. I have two folks very close to me. I have two folks very close to me that have their lives have been just shrouded in addiction, and I don't understand the dynamic. I don't understand the, you know, making the decision to just stop and stopping and just doing that piece. Like it's not wired into my brain. I don't understand how that works. And maybe Rick, that's something that you can share to help some folks out there that are surrounded by folks that are having addiction issues.
You know, I think one of the biggest problems in society is with all the sensationalism that goes on and with everybody wanting to glare at the bad things, almost like the car wreck that everybody goes by and can't help but look at. They need to realize that, you know, addiction is a disease. It's not a moral deficiency. And everybody, you know, that doesn't understand, especially the older generations, would look at it, well, you know, in my day and age, they had willpower, and we would just put it down, you know, and walk 5 miles to school both ways uphill. And it doesn't come down to that. It has nothing to do with willpower. It has nothing to do with self-control. It's a disease. You know, on the same, it would be like having someone have diabetes and saying, okay, don't take any medication, but maintain your blood sugar level. You know, and people don't understand that. They aren't of that school. And, you know, when Blake and I met, and I'm sure he'll talk about how our paths crossed, but it was one of those things where it was a God thing. You know, we were on it. We were just not.
That's funny. I call it all the time. I go, that's a God thing. I love that.
You know, and it's true. And you know, I have a friend of mine who says that coincidences are just God's way of staying anonymous. And what happens is he used to tell me that when he saw the book, that it was, he equated it to the book, What to Expect When You're Expecting. Because the book isn't just for addicts and alcoholics, it's for family members. And I've gotten some letters back from some family members that said, oh my God, I didn't realize it was like this. You know, they were under the impression that their child was just this morally deficient, just bad person. And you know, and Candy, you mentioned about guilt and shame, and most people don't understand it. And the easiest definition is, and they use this in books, is if somebody spills milk, the definition of guilt is that they spilled the milk, and shame is that they're a milk spiller. And one is that you're labeled with a characteristic, and the other one is, listen, I had a bad decision. Something bad happened, you know, and it's time to, you know, pick yourself up and move on.
How long, can I ask you how long you've been clean?
Yeah. Actually, in the book, it talked about having 4.5 years clean. And 9 months ago, actually today, I had to come back and start. I hate to say start over, because when you're in school, if you fail the 12th grade, you don't go back to kindergarten. You know, nobody takes your knowledge away from you. But, you know, I wasn't doing what I was taught. I was taught you go to meetings, you share, you work your steps, you do this. And it was, but my father was very sick, and I was working a lot, and I was putting money before my recovery. I was putting other people's welfare before my recovery. And you know something? When I was supposed to go right, I went left, and, you know, it happens, but, you know, I picked up and I moved on, and now I'm back in.
One of the vital things that you were talking about was the moment that you started writing and putting your thoughts and your ideas onto paper, and how that actually has an impact. Do you think that that was part of the cleansing? Because, you know, you called it a disease, so is that how you were getting it out of your system?
Yeah, I believe so. I think it was a way. You know, I think there's a purpose. There's a reason with somebody with my background that's never been arrested. Well, I take that back. I didn't appear on a traffic ticket once, but, you know, we're not going to count that one. But I've never been arrested.
I'm counting.
All right. So is my wife, I'm sure. You know, never had any illnesses, you know, that are associated with drugs and alcohol, you know, the hepatitis, the HIV. And I have a lot of people that I know that have that because the biggest thing that people understand is there's consequences that come with addiction. And you have to deal with them even if you're clean. You know, some people die 25 years clean from consequences, but it was a way for me to get my thoughts out. It was also a way for me to interact with other people because I would share with them or they would give to me, you know, they would talk to me whether it was in a treatment center or not and say, listen, I have the problem with my wife, my mother, my brother, my husband, and I don't know how to say it to him, but this is what's going on in my head. And I would help them and write a poem, and it was something that would touch other people's lives, which helped me as well.
And one of the things that Blake actually alluded to also was about choices. And I think that one of the things that people need to realize that this is a choice, that if you want to be clean, you have to make that decision. Now, how vital was that for you, Blake, when you decided that you wanted to get to the next level? When did you have that turning point in your life that you decided, I have to do this for myself?
And if that's a big answer, we may wait just a few minutes because we are just up on another commercial break. And so I'd like you to think about that question.
Okay, okay.
And when we come back from this commercial break, because I know the music's about to start. See, can you hear it? I'm like psychic. So what that means is we're going to go to commercial break. And I want you to answer that question for us when you come back. This is Nothing But Good News Radio. This is your host, Candy G, and just a whole bunch of great guys here with me today. We'll be right back in 2 minutes.
Do you need help shipping? AmeriJet website offers quick quotes, online booking, and door pickup for all your shipments to the Caribbean, Latin America, and Mexico. Visit our website at www.amerijet.com or call us today at 1-800-927-6059. Doing business with AmeriJet is fast and easy. Schedule all-caller service to all major destinations by air and ocean with no weight or commodity restriction. Call AmeriJet today at 1-800-927-6059 or visit our website, amerijet.com.
Now boarding. Next stop, Your Remarkable Life. Hello, this is Les Brown. A Remarkable Life is available to all of us. And Candy G, internationally recognized speaker, life coach, and author, gives us the keys to release the imprisoned splendor, as Elizabeth Browning would say. Candy G is the message that she brings. She has a strong sense of purpose to change the planet and transform people's lives. Candy G and I have shared the stage throughout the United States and all the way to London. Everyone has been amazed with the strategic thinking and winning approach they have gained, not only from her speeches and seminars, but also from her celebrated life coaching program. Now Boarding brings forth a great deal from that program, tied in with Candy G's own life experiences and guaranteed to change your life. This book will enable you to live the life others only dream about. This has been Mrs. Mamie Brown's baby boy. Candy G, you've made us all proud.
Welcome back to Nothing But Good News Radio. When we left, we actually asked Blake a very big question about choices. And we're actually going to allow you, Blake, just to answer that. At what point did you decide, what was the choice that you made in your life to actually decide that you were better than the addiction that was actually grabbing a hold of you?
Really, the choice was sort of made for me when I got arrested. when I got arrested, I was afraid to even call anybody. They actually let me use a phone. You know, I was 20 years old, and I'm in a jail cell with not the best-looking people because I was, you know, just it was a bad situation in Ohio, and I sat there for 5 days. I finally picked up the phone. I called my father. And I was surprised at the support he immediately gave me. There was no rash, harsh consequences like I thought he would do, no yelling, just matter of fact, what do we got to do? He came and he got me. I got off the airplane with him. I walked into my house, and my mom, who I was her world, I was her only child, tried to punch me the second I walked in the door. And right then I was like, I just thought opposite. I thought my mom would have embraced me, and I thought my dad would have tried to, you know, hit me, and it was totally opposite. And at that point in time, I just said, "This, I gotta put it together. I can't, I can't live my life the way I've been living it since I was 12 years old.
You know, I get a lot of my wisdom from country music, and there's that Garth Brooks song that says, what is it, Thank God for Unanswered Prayers or something?
Yeah.
Or something. So tell me about, so you actually went to school with James Fry, correct?
That's correct.
And so there was a place where, you know that, certain places that he put his story together based on lives that other folks where you were going to school were living. And so, I think it's just pretty fascinating. It's really fascinating watching what happened with the whole James Fry debacle. But I don't want to go too far down that road. But that was just me being very curious. So, Blake, what do you do now?
I run a medical research company. I contract with local physicians, and actually even the place that was where my mom was. And we just collect data for the FDA for new medications, devices, and I just keep it highly ethical at my end. I make sure that even though it is all for profit, I make sure that the criteria for the research is met so that people nothing happens. It's just
good for you. So let's talk about your mom. What happened?
She had MS and was diagnosed in her mid 40s and. Was maintaining, she did a lot of information about it and was maintaining a good life. Her neurologist, a guy from Miami, said, hey, there's a new drug out there. We want to get you on the study. We want you to try it out. It'll make sure you never go into remission again. So she did everything she could to get in the study. The doctor gave her the experimental medication. He didn't follow protocol. He didn't do the blood work to see if the drug was compatible in her system. After 3 months, it started just a series of strokes and a horrible agonizing death, sort of similar to going through like chemotherapy every single day for 3 years until she passed away at 54.
Wow, that's incredible. Have you ever heard of a doctor? His name is Stephen Herman.
No, I haven't.
He actually wrote a book called Death by Drugs, and he talks about how modern medicine has betrayed us all. That's his take. I just happen to have it sitting here. Somebody sent it to me, to take a look out and possibly have Dr. Herman on the show. But it's a tough thing, we could do a whole couple hours on the pharmaceutical drug world.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there are a lot of advances in medicine that really make a big difference in people's lives. But, the way they conduct the data and put it together, it's not real world, a lot of it.
Wow, that's amazing. And so look at what you do today. That's really amazing. Now, I appreciate you being here supporting Rick and his book. And like I said, I'd be bouncing around all over the place asking you both questions. I'd like to know if we could hear one of these poems of yours.
Okay, not a problem. Before I do it, I just wanted to say one thing. When Orlando was talking about choice, one of the problems that runs into with addiction and alcoholism is it's the only disease out there that tells you don't have it. So while you're suffering from it...
What do you mean?
Well, when you have cancer, you have cancer, and the doctor doesn't come to you and say, oh, by the way, you don't have cancer. He says, listen, this is what you need to do, and if you do this, take this, do this, your chances for survival are better. Addiction is a disease that tells you, oh, it's everybody else's problem. You don't have it. You can use just one, and you believe it until something like you get arrested or you overdose or your wife or husband leaves you, or usually it's an outside force that makes you wake up and say, holy cow, they're right. If 10 people tell you you're a duck, you need to see if your toes are wet.
Right. And I hear that piece that you're talking about, but I also think, is there not, sometimes I think for folks, because they can say, well, this is a disease, and that they escape responsibility from doing the work they need to do to get into recovery by saying it's a disease.
No, I agree with you. And that's one of the things with the book, is it shows you that, if you have a thought, you're not responsible for your thought, but you're responsible for what you do with it. It's the next thing that's on your plate. You can't control what comes into your mind, so you can't say, oh, this is my disease and I have to do it. You have to have responsibility. And when the choice comes down for an active addict or a recovering addict, while you're clean and doing the right thing, you have a choice and you're empowered. Where the powerlessness and the lack of choice comes is once you put that first substance in your body. If you're an addict and you put that first substance in, you can't stop. It's almost like, you know, one of Newton's laws. You're not going to stop until acted upon by another force.
Exactly, and I think that one of the things that Candy actually alluded to also and what Blake, you were talking about, is that most people, when they do have a disease, they actually go to the doctor for a prescription or for a medicine or for something that will make them feel better. And when you actually have an addiction like this, you have to decide for yourself that you don't want to be addicted anymore.
Well, you're sick and tired of being sick and tired. You know, you've got to... You know, listen, there's an old joke that's in the rooms that says, if three frogs are on a log and one decides to jump off, how many are left? Everybody says two, and the answer is three, because a decision without action is just a dream. All right, I'm going to read you just a short verse of one of them, and then I'm going to read you another one. This is my favorite verse of anything I've ever written. It says, peeking out the window and not answering the phone. Knowing a lot of people, but still feeling alone. Stealing and cheating and living a lie. Always joking and laughing, but wanting to cry. Now, I'm going to read you a poem. It's called Gratitude. Excuse me. I always wanted without working for, thinking I deserve better than before. Wanting what you had and not looking at me. My eyes blurred with envy, I would barely see. Now I can see what has always been there. It's me that I see, and it's now time to care. So grateful I am to be healthy and clean, to be joyous and free, and most of all, serene. I thank God for giving me a chance. I've been singing the song. I must now dance the dance. Realize success is a journey and not a destination. I must work the steps without hesitation. It's now out of the darkness and into the light. Not doing my will, but doing what's right. Gratitude is action. It's not heard, it's seen. Not just at meetings, but all times in between.
Well, that's actually, that's amazing, because I think that one of the things that, you know, sticks out from what you said, it's gratitude is action, that you have to take action for what you are addicted to or what you were addicted to. And the action that you actually took was to write and put your thoughts and your words onto paper and eventually get it published into a book.
Yeah, you know, thank you. And one of the things that makes the book different and unique is that they're not these long, wordy poems, because a lot of people, when they're first getting clean, are so foggy that it takes a while and the concentration level isn't there. But it's written in terms that everyone can understand. You know, I'm not filling it with $10 words. I want everybody to relate to it. But on each page, there's room to write down your own thoughts or pictures or anything that tells yourself where you are. And there's a couple pages at the end of each chapter that are blank for the same purpose, as well as a journal at the end. And like anything else in life, most of the times we don't see in ourselves what others see. And since this is an ongoing process and you have to stay positive and focused to improve yourself, the more accolades you can give yourself, the better you're going to do. So when you read the poems and maybe you have a couple days or a week or a month clean or sober and you write down notes or feelings, and then you go back in 6 months or a year and you read the same poem and you write down what you're feeling then, you can almost chart your personal growth and you can see. And if you're in a good mood or a bad mood or a sad mood, you're going to see the difference and to see your own progress.
You know, the interesting thing is when I listen to the poetry, and it's beautiful, by the way, Rick, you're very talented.
Thank you.
And but what's interesting is I'm realizing that I think what goes on for a lot of folks that are addicts, or at least the folks that I know that have addiction issues, that they're very heartfelt. There's a lot of emotion. People, they want to be able to feel and talk about how they feel. And we live in a world that tells us not to, especially if you are of the male persuasion, to not to be emotional and not to talk about emotions. And I think it's amazing when I hear that and I hear all the emotion that goes on for you. And the truth is that we are really feeling creatures. and having the opportunity to really feel and take a look inside. Now, Rumi, he's a 13th century poet and scholar, and he's considered the father of mysticism, and he's a person I've studied at length. He says we search outside for trinkets while the real treasures are on the inside. And I see your poetry as a way to go inside and help unearth some of those treasures.
Well, you know, it's funny you said that about it being on the inside. You know, there's an expression, don't leave before the miracle happens. And a lot of people are waiting for this clap of thunder or this burning bush. And the real miracle is where you see somebody come in and get clean, where they've lost their, you know, their children to whatever services it is, and they get their children back. Or somebody who comes in that has done so many drugs or alcohol that they can barely form a sentence, and 6 months later they're speaking, you know, articulately. And these are the true miracles. You know, it's always right in front of our face that we don't see it. And when you mention about men in the society, my grand sponsor always says, real men cry, wear pink, and eat quiche.
I like that grand sponsor thing. That's incredible.
And Candy,
like, did you have... Yes.
Yeah, and one thing on this book, too, that, you know, just for listeners and everything, you know, thinking, oh, a book of poetry, I mean, what can a bunch of poems really do to help people? But, you know, if you look at the table of contents of this book, it's very short. There's five chapters. But each chapter, for me, really makes me understand, you know, feelings, but the whole pattern. I mean, if you look at chapter one, it's the title of the chapter is Feelings. When you read the collection of the poetries in there, for example, Feeling Alone, I'm Different, Where Do I Turn, Living in Today, Tantrum, Keeping Cool, Feeling Less Than, then you go to chapter two, The Program, going through some of those titles there, and Relationships, you know, I'm Hurt, Love. It just sort of encompasses everything that a person in addiction is going through, and each one of these poems in each chapter gives you, you know, for a reader like myself who isn't going through recovery and isn't addicted, really gives me an understanding on many levels of what people are going through and what they're feeling. Because Rick, you know, really, I don't know how he did it, but it's just so generalized.
But, you know, me, I don't know how Rick did it either. No, I'm kidding.
I absolutely adore Rick.
Right. And now here's the thing, the interesting thing that you bring up, and you didn't have an addiction issue, but this book really spoke to you.
Well, you know, like you said in the beginning of the conversation, you know, thanking me for coming out here, I've really kept this in the closet for 20 years.
I got that, and I got that.
I'm a little
that,
nervous being on the radio today talking about it, to be honest with you, but you know what?
Can I tell you, I'm getting comments all over Facebook, and folks are just, great show. We're going to talk about it. I got some questions on Facebook. Some folks have been reaching out. You have really touched folks' hearts today, Blake, and so I'm so proud of you. So don't go anywhere, because we're going to another commercial break, and we'll be right back.
Shipping small packages to family and friends in the Caribbean? Amerijet has the right service for you. Small package shipping starts at just $35. Visit our website at www.amerijet.com or call us today at 1-800-927-6059. Amerijet has the best all-cargo service for small and large shipments. You can choose from airport to airport service and door pickup at home or office. Call Amerijet 1-800-927-6059 or visit our website at amerijet.com.
Candy G is a sales coach, life skills coach, speaker, author, and personal motivator. A recognized leader in the motivational speaking industry, Candy G teaches universal, timeless principles and real-time action steps, revealing the secrets to true success, happiness, and personal prosperity. She shows others how to master their own lives. For more information on events with Candy G or available products and services, please contact 1-888-526-3334 or visit us online at www.candyg.com. Candy G is also available to customize programs for your corporation, group, or organization.
I just completed the most fabulous program that I ever had the opportunity to be a part of. I'd like to thank you, Candy, for all your help and your inspiration. A little down on myself, not knowing where I was going, but you have brought it out of me. You've given me the confidence to know that I can achieve anything that I set my mind to.
Welcome back. This is Nothing But Good News Radio, and I got to tell you what, I am having a blast here in the studio. And besides the fact, great folks and great information. But, you know, I will tell you, and Blake, I'm going to come back to you and say thank you again for coming out. And I know that it's a scary thing, but I really appreciate it. And I've got some folks that are on Facebook asking questions. So, and, you know, this is really for you and Rick both. You know, when it comes to deciding not to do this anymore, and especially for you, Rick, going to the 12-step program, how do you tap into, I know it's about finding your higher power, and a lot of the 12-step program says to do that. How was that piece for you? How did you do that?
Well, you know, well, personally, I was forced into it, whether it was a relationship or family members, and
was it like intervention?
Yeah, I've had an intervention before, but what happens is, You have to make the decision. You very rarely, and I'm going to say rarely because I know it does happen, does someone just wake up and say, oh, my life is miserable. I need to do something about it. And hopefully the book and shows like this will help people and show them that, you know, you can get off the elevator at any floor. You don't have to go all the way to the basement. You know, the help is there. You're able to do what you need to do. But, you know, you have to – everybody's heard the expression surrender to win. And in today's society, everybody uses the term surrender and thinks that they're giving up. And nobody wants to give up or be weak, but it's how we look at it. And surrender means that you're going over to the winning side. And, you know, my father, I mentioned that it happened right before he passed. And my father used to say something to me every day, and it used to drive me crazy. And now since he's gone, I must use it every day. And it's a famous quote by Gestalt, and it says, we don't see things as they are, we see things as we are. So when we're in the right frame of mind and we're positive, the future looks great. You know, if we're in a pissy mood and we're angry, everything's going to set us off. And the biggest thing that people need to understand is nobody, and I mean nobody, has the power over you to make you happy or make you angry. Only you have that power. If you allow someone to make you angry, then that was on you. You can't say, oh, I did this guy really, you know, got me upset and he pissed me off and made me angry. No, you allowed that. And most people, when they act out or when they get angry, it's their own issue. It's whether they see a little of themselves in you and it doesn't make them happy, or their own issue that's going on. And it's easy to say right now while nobody's interacting and trying to upset me, because listen, I fall short just like everybody else. But one of the things that you learn in recovery is nobody has that power. Nobody can make you use and nobody can get you clean. That's all on you, Candy.
You know, it's. I think that's a life lesson in general, which is personal responsibility. Whether it's an addiction or whatever you've got going on in your life, if you want to have a better life, accept responsibility for where you are and then choose to step out and make the changes.
No, I agree 100%. You know, you can't sit there and feel sorry for yourself because nobody else is going to. You know, you have to make your own way.
What do you do? How do you start your day?
I get up and I hit my knees and I pray. And it's funny because, you know, I was raised Jewish, and in the Jewish religion, you don't get on your knees to pray. And I always joke in the rooms and say, you know, I didn't want to insult God, but I'd be on my knees, you know, if I was using to find something I dropped, that wasn't an insult to God. But, you know, God forbid, for lack of a better words. And I ask God to, you know, to let me do his will. And I'm not a religious person by any means, but I do think of myself as spiritual. And I ask God for help. I ask God to, you know, help keep me clean throughout the day from drugs and alcohol, and to be a good person and to reach out and be able to help others. And then at the end of the day, I thank him for what he's done for me.
Awesome. I mean, I just think that's the way life is meant to be lived. You know, Blake, you really opened my eyes up a little bit to Rick's book in relationship to folks that I have in my life that have real addiction issues. Like I said, I have two people that are very close to me, and I just kind of close my eyes and go, what can I do? And I don't understand, and I now come to understand that I can use Rick's book as a tool to help me with understanding, because as I gain understanding, there may be a better place that I can help them, or just to understand them, and maybe just in the understanding is helping enough. So you've really opened my eyes up
and
to
not
that
only
piece.
That, I mean, it's not only helping yourself and helping them, But, you know, if that person, if it's a child of a friend of yours, and you can share this book with them, that mother or that father is going to understand better what their kid's going through and be able to help and help them a lot better. I mean, you know, like I said, I've kept this to myself for 20 years, and when I read Rick's book and spent time with him going through it, it just was like, I don't know, a bell went off, and I said, man, you know what, after all this thing that happened with James Fry and Oprah and, you know, my friends from the past calling me and telling me all this about it, I mean, you know, I'm putting myself on the line because I think that this is a book that Oprah, if she did read and help spread this word, can make an impact on society, can really help people understand, cause, you know, some of the internal conflict it causes within people's homes and relationships can be helped by this. I mean, you know, I've referred to it as what to expect, what you're expecting, because, you know, when I had my first child, I must have had 15 copies of those things. You know, if I'm standing in a Barnes & Noble and I saw this book and had the message behind it that, hey, you know, Johnny's brother over there just got addicted, let me grab this for him. I mean, it really, really made a big difference. And I think that, you know, like I said, if Oprah wanted to have a little redemption on getting duped by him, get this book out there. It'll really help out people.
Get it out there now. Okay, so there must be an Oprah producer somewhere listening to Nothing But Good News Radio. So we want you to pick up the phone and give us a call because we want to make sure that that happens. And I think it's a great story and a great story to be told. How did the two of you connect around your book?
Go ahead.
You want to tell it, Blake?
Sure. A really close friend of mine in the medical business had one of the worst blown out addictions I've ever seen. Came into a lot of money real young and just lived like a rock star. And while that was going on, was trying to help him and finally got to the point where he, you know, I got him to his father and his family and he went away for 3 months. And I took over the operations of his business, basically closed it down. Rick was the realtor of the building that we were trying to sell. And it was both of us getting completely frustrated trying to do business with the person who ultimately signed the paperwork as just a complete blown-out addict, just not even on the planet. And when we were talking and I heard his story, my friend's story, my wife had addiction, I leaned to Rick for help, and he really helped me.
You know, that's awesome. You know, I want to ask you, oh, there we go. Another commercial break. We're going to head off to commercial break. But what I want you to think about, Rick and maybe Rick and Blake, you know, we're heading up on the holidays. How hard is it for folks that like to party around the holidays? And what are some tips that we can give to folks? But we're going to answer that question when we come right back. This is Nothing But Good News Radio.
Do you need to ship food, personal effects, or relief goods to your loved ones in Haiti? Call Emerja today at 1-800-927-6059 or visit our website at www.emerjet.com. Emerjet offers schedule all cargo service to Haiti. There are no restrictions on weight or size. Track your shipment online and be ensured that your shipment will arrive in Haiti on the next available flight. Visit our website at www.emerjet.com or call us today at 1-800-927-6059.
Hi, I'm Anne from Fort Lauderdale. Now, I'm no stranger to the self-help aisle in the bookstores, and there are so many fabulous motivational speakers out there, but somehow I have never been able to apply what they say to make my life as happy and successful as theirs. Until I read Now Boarding, Next Stop, Your Remarkable Life by Candy G. In this book, Candy G takes motivational speaking out of the theoretical right into the practical. Her step-by-step instructions on how to identify the blocks we have to our own success and happiness, followed by step-by-step instructions in her reclamation process, is like some kind of magic bullet aimed at creating the life that we desire and so richly deserve. Candy G is a remarkable woman who used these same tools to create a life overflowing with love and success. And now this remarkable method is available in her first book, Now Boarding, Next Stop, Your Remarkable Life. Don't hesitate to buy it and just watch magical things start happening in your life.
Welcome back to Nothing But Good News Radio. We actually asked you a question, Rick, Candy did, about, you know, the holidays, and actually wanted to let the listeners know the name of the book, which is Simple, and really great. It's called Inspirational Poetry for Your Recovery. For those of the people that know family members that would actually benefit from getting this book, not only for the holidays, but just for recovery in their own life.
Yeah, and actually, I have a Facebook page under my name, under Rick Finkelstein. Also, the email for the book is poetryrick2009@hotmail.com. And if you go to Lumina Press, which is LLUMINA Press.com, you can find it. There's a page under for my name and for the book. But getting back to the question, every area that has meetings, whether they're NA meetings, which stands for Narcotics Anonymous, or AA for Alcoholics Anonymous, or any kind of anonymous meeting, during the holidays we'll have what they call 24-hour rooms. And what it will start is from Christmas Eve through Christmas. They'll do it through New Year's Eve through New Year's Day. And there will be people around the clock. People will bring in food. They'll have meetings. People will hang out, play cards, talk, just, you know, BS with each other, you know, be there to support and to have fun. You know, the importance for people that are out there that are feeling the misery is that getting clean and sober isn't about your life ending. It's really about your life beginning. It's about having fun and being accountable and just really, you know, you will live a life beyond your wildest dreams. And I know that in for people in South Florida, in Miami, they have a 24-hour room that goes for, I believe, 10 days. And if you go on websites and look up either Alcoholics Anonymous or Narcotics Anonymous, you'll find their different web pages that will tell you where it is. But it's 10 days round the clock, people, food, and fun.
So how vital is that role? I mean, and this is actually a question for you also, Blake, is how vital is the role of having a really great support group of people that actually support one another and encourage one another to make sure that they don't fall back?
Well, I'll tell you, it's about as vital as if you had emphysema having an oxygen tank. You know,
wow.
It's what you need, because what happens is if you're left alone to make your own decisions, you're going to make the wrong ones. I mean, if you keep doing what you did, you're going to keep getting what you got.
Yeah, and if people don't have the willpower to stop themselves, you know, they need to be accountable to somebody else in recovery, and that's the whole purpose of having a sponsor. I mean, I've seen it directly. I've seen, you know, family members and friends that when they're going to their meetings and they're on track, they're fine. You know, then all of a sudden the holidays come up, oh, I get too busy, I don't go. Next thing you know, they're using again.
You know, the whole addiction thing is so huge. I mean, I really didn't recognize how big of a part of our society today that it really is. And last year my eyes were opened when I had somebody who I love and care about very much who had been living under a bridge, literally, with a needle in his arm, and he got out and got clean, and he was coming to one of my events, and he was helping me in the back of the room, being support, you know, selling books and things. And I just happened to tell the audience, there was a couple hundred folks there, I just happened to tell the audience, this was last January, how proud I was of him, and he was in the back of the room, and that he'd been clean at that point for 18 days, and now he was clean 9 months. He did pick up again, but we're back on another 12 days, so it's all good. But what's amazing to me is how many people went up and spoke to him on break, during lunch, afterwards, gave his phone number. I have to tell you, it was probably 25-30% of the room. I was pretty blown away.
You know, nobody understands what someone's going through like someone who's been through it. You know, you can, and I'm thankful for all the clinicians and everyone out there that writes books or does what it is as far as addiction goes. But, you know, it's basically, if you were going to dig a hole, do you want to read a book about someone who knows the theory and concept about moving dirt, or someone who's actually been there with a shovel and made the hole themselves?
And that's actually vital, because I think that sometimes people overcomplicate things. And one of the things that you did when you shared your poetry, that it was actually heartfelt, that you can tell that you put your heart and soul into what you were writing. And I think that that's what people are actually going to get from the book when they read it. And that's going to be part of the recovery.
No, I appreciate that. It's funny that you say complicated, because recovery has always been referred to as a simple program for complicated people. You know, you could take someone who's an addict or an alcoholic, and they could complicate 2 + 2 = 4 because usually they want to manipulate it to show you that 2 + 2 = 5 so they get one back from you. You know, that's always the way it's going to work. And I use that with a little levity, but it comes down to the fact that if we slow down long enough to get out of our own way, you know, my brother used to tell me something, and I used to get so angry because I didn't want to hear it, that the answer was in the silence. You know, if I'm talking to you while you're talking, I can't hear what you say. And that's why it's so important that people take the time to be silent and meditate, because if you believe that prayer is talking to God and meditating is listening to him, if you're just talking to God and not listening for the answer, all you're doing is giving a speech and not really the person you want to be giving a speech to.
Wow, that's some powerful words.
Yeah, Rick, I am just, I'm speechless. It takes a lot to get me speechless. Listen, guys, we got 3 minutes till we're off the air. Blake, what would you like to leave the listening audience with today? And again, a huge thank you. And just so you know, we've got folks that, you know, on Facebook, they're just saying, great show. This is really good for people to hear. So I really commend you for stepping through that fear spot and spending an hour with us on Nothing But Good News. So what would you like to share? Give me 60 seconds.
You know, just that this is a book that really can help, you know, a lot of people, you know, whether it's the mother with three kids, you know, the doctor, the lawyer, the high school kid, the mom just trying to understand. It really has really helped me help other people. It's really helped help myself. And I think it's a good message to get out. You know, it's a very simple thing. It's very generic. It relates to a lot of people. And, you know, like Rick said, he's been there. I mean, it's not a theory book. It's real. It's a real book that could really help people.
That's awesome. Rick, 60 seconds. What do you want to leave the listening audience with?
That's a tough one.
I know.
The big thing is, like Blake said, with the book affecting a lot of people, you know, the book's been out for a little while, and it hasn't been massively done. But I've had testimonials from people that were either addicts or alcoholics or parents or children of addicts and alcoholics, and it's all been the same thing. They never realized that it was the same thing for everyone else, that they weren't unique. There was no terminal uniqueness, and it made them understand that there's an answer. There's hope. You know, there's hope. There's a way out, and I believe the book gives people a chance to open up, see themselves for who they are, understand that they can be anyone they want to be, and just don't give up, and there's people out there that want to help.
That's awesome, and what I'd like to ask Blake and Rick, what I'd like to ask you both to do for me for the next issue of Nothing But Good News magazine, if the two of you would get together and just create a synopsis of what we talked about today, I'd love to do an article and put some poetry in the magazine.
Not a problem. How about you, Blake?
Sounds good.
Sounds good. All right. Orlando, you get 30 seconds. Quick. No, you get 15.
I get 15. Actually, I think that your story is amazing, but I think that what's most amazing about you and Blake and Rick is that you guys are actually supporting one another and how you actually are encouraging one another to not only recover but go to the next level.
That's awesome. It's really good stuff. Oh, we could keep doing this. Listen, this is Nothing But Good News Radio. This was a great show. It will be in the archives. Like always, go back and listen to it again. This is Candy G, and you know what I want you to do? Get on out there and live life like you mean it. Bye for now.